Well, actually, it's funny. I was supposed to be writing a book about happiness, and the happiness book was making me miserable. The irony was not lost on me. And that was because when I was writing that book, I was starting out as a therapist, and I felt like the more you work with people, the more you realize that happiness is beside the point. Happiness as an end goal in itself is often a recipe for disaster. So I didn't want to be writing the happiness book. And later I decided that, what I really want to do is just bring people into what people's lives are really like. And the best way to do that was to bring them into what I get to experience every day as a therapist.
This book really breaks down kind of the fourth wall of therapy. Was that scary for you as a therapist? Did you feel like we don't necessarily talk about ourselves as patients?
I felt like if I were going to be the expert up on high and you only saw me as the clinician and I was not sharing what was actually happening in my life at the same time, that would feel almost fraudulent because we all struggle. Nobody goes through life and doesn't experience struggle at one point or another. So I felt it was really important to show me as a human being because, as I say in the book, that my most significant credential is that I'm a card-carrying member of the human race. So I felt it was important to show that.
You spoke a little bit about happiness, about how if it's an end goal, it can be disastrous. And the Roaring Fork Valley is a place where I think there's a lot of pressure to be and appear happy. And that actually can be detrimental. We do have pretty high rates of suicide. I'm wondering if you can speak to why that might be.
So many times people try to hide the truth of who they are because they think they're the only one experiencing that. So, they look at Instagram, they look at Facebook, and it's not just social media. I think there's some kind of cultural pressure to be happy, to appear happy. And what happens is people feel like very isolated in their experience.
A lot of rural areas in America, including the Roaring Fork Valley, mental health care and accessing it is difficult. Are there resources out there that people here can seek if maybe their health insurance doesn't cover some therapy sessions, if they're having trouble finding mental health care?
Absolutely. I think today there are so many ways to reach out, and sometimes you can do online therapy, you can do text therapy. Many therapists will do Skype therapy, with people who don't have access locally. It's different, of course, from being in the room with somebody, but there are resources.
What advice would you give someone who's seeking a therapist?
The most important factor in the success of the therapy that you do is your relationship with your therapist. It actually matters more than the therapist's training, their orientation, how many years they've been doing this. All of that matters, of course. But therapy is this very rich human experience. And so when you go in for your first therapy session, it's an opportunity for you to see what it's like to sit in a room with this person. And when you leave, you can ask yourself, did I feel understood? Was this person easy to talk to? And if this person was, then go back for a second session. It's not like you go in and you're committed to staying there. You want to find the right fit. And if it's not the right fit, you might want to try somebody else.